Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 12, 9 to 19. And within these verses, we have John's recollection of Palm Sunday. On page 1637 in your pew Bible, if you would like to follow along there. And just the day before Palm Sunday, we read, "Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" Thus ends the reading of God's word. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, even in the familiar story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, we have those words, "Don't be afraid." As the words of the prophecy from Zechariah are brought into our celebration this morning. But before that prophecy from Zechariah comes, we need to understand the context of what's going on that Sunday morning. With the exception of the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, there aren't many events in the life of Jesus that are as well known as what we now call the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem that every year we celebrate on Palm Sunday. It's well known and often misunderstood, especially by the people who greeted Jesus on that Sunday morning, waving those palm branches in the air and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." So much had occurred in Jesus' life up to this event. But I chose those opening verses for a reason, to give context to what happened just before the march into Jerusalem. Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. 6 days before Passover, we find Jesus at Bethany. He's at Mary and Martha's house, the sisters of Lazarus. And while Jesus is there, a large crowd of people come, and they come for two reasons. One, Jesus is there. And by now, his reputation is spreading as a great teacher, a healer. And they've come to see Lazarus. This is the greatest miracle of all that Jesus has done. He's raised someone from the dead. These people come to see Lazarus, the miracle man. They wanted to see the risen and the one who did the rising. John tells us that many people were coming over to Jesus on account of the resurrection of Lazarus. Well, the Pharisees have a plan. And now their plan is to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus. For the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Lazarus was an embarrassment. Kind of a double embarrassment. Not only was Lazarus causing people to go over to the side of Jesus, but Lazarus and what happened to Lazarus was a standing condemnation of what the Sadducees and Pharisees were teaching the people. What they were teaching about the resurrection. See, in the official doctrines of the Sadducees, the resurrection is a myth. Don't believe in the resurrection. That's not going to happen. They denied the resurrection. And here in Lazarus, they have a man who experienced the resurrection. It seems that many Jews who were opposed to Jesus, or maybe at least until that time, didn't have much of an opinion either way on this Jesus person. Now, because of what happened to Lazarus, they were coming over. They began to believe. They were beginning to put their faith in Christ. And the Pharisees just could have none of this. And then the very next morning, Jesus leaves Bethany and makes his way to Jerusalem. And once again we read that a large crowd comes out to meet him. Now this isn't the same crowd that came to Martha Mary's house. This was a much, much larger crowd. These are the people who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. As Cheryl pointed out, this is the event of the year for Jewish people. And if you could, you would get to Jerusalem at least once in your lifetime. Thousands and thousands of people coming to celebrate the feast. And likely mixed in with this crowd would be people who had witnessed the miracles of Jesus. Maybe some had seen him in Bethany. Whatever happened, word had spread. This person we know as Jesus, he's coming. And for some time now, many of them had felt that Jesus' teachings and his miracles had plainly showed that he was the Messiah. But until this time, every time the subject came up, Jesus, well, he'd tell people to be quiet about it. He's kind of keeping a low profile in the whole Messiah thing. And he never made the claim himself yet. He would never set himself up as the king. But on this day, things changed. On this day, it was different. People took palm branches, waved them in the air. They were shouting at the top of their lungs, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And this time, there's no words of Jesus denying these facts. He's not telling the people to be quiet. In fact, I believe it's in Luke when the Pharisees tell Jesus, "Hey, tell these people to be quiet. They're calling you Messiah." He says, "If I told them to be quiet, these stones would scream out the truth." So he didn't stop them, and the crowd got even more enthusiastic. But the crowd misunderstood. This was indeed the King of Kings coming down the road, but not in the way that they believed, not in the way that they anticipated, not in the way that they were hoping for. Israel longed to be set free from the Romans. They longed to no longer live in fear of conquest. They longed to be that separate people of God. So the sight of the Messiah coming into Jerusalem was for many of them the most welcome sight imaginable. But Jesus was coming as the Prince of Peace. They were expecting the warrior king, a king that would free them from all their earthly troubles, a king that would liberate them from oppression, liberate them from Roman rule, and in celebration and in anticipation, they grabbed palm branches and they started waving them and shaking them. Palm branches are not a symbol of peace. That's the olive branch. The palm branch is a symbol of war and victory. From the time of the Maccabees, palms or palm branches had been used as a national symbol of Israel and politically in a very subversive way. Palm branches were used in the celebration of the rededication of the temple in 164 BC when, under Judas Maccabee, they tossed out the pagans who had taken over the temple. They used the palm branch again when Israel gained full independence under Simon in 141 BC. Later, the palm branches were used as national symbols on coins that the Jewish nation made when they had the few years of freedom after they revolted against the Romans and they kicked them out. They minted their own coins, and firmly stamped on that coin was the palm, because we stand and we fight, and this is a symbol for our victory. So on this occasion, on that Sunday morning when Jesus was going down that road, making that procession, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the palm branches that were being waved by the crowd, by the children, by the adults, by everyone who could grab one, they were waving them in not in an expectation of peace. They waved them in an expectation of liberation. Hosanna, as was pointed out, save us. Literally, it's give us salvation or give us liberation. Right, listen to what they were yelling. Welcome to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Welcome to the King of Israel. This is a leader who's going to free us. They were expecting the Messiah. They've been waiting for generations. They're waiting for the King. And they had a very clear idea of what that King, what the King of Israel was going to do when he finally did come. We often hear the words, actions speak louder than words. As I said, when Jesus came in, he didn't say anything to dispel what the people were chanting. But his actions did. We read that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey, not a war horse, a donkey. This is symbolizing a very different Messiah than what the people were looking for. They hailed him as the king, but he comes as the Prince of Peace. In the telling of this day in history, both Matthew and John quote Zechariah 9:9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And on Palm Sunday, this oracle was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But what is often missing is that divine promise that follows that prophetic verse. In the very next verse, God says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim. I will take away the war horses from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The reign of Christ begins with a massive disarmament program. Getting rid of the war horse, getting rid of the chariot, getting rid of the bow, getting rid of the weapons of war. Jesus came on an animal of peace. A conqueror comes in a war horse. Peace after battle. The people can live with that. That would be attractive to many people. That would be expected of their Messiah. And at this point, Jesus could have commanded quite an impressive force around the city of Jerusalem. Quite a strong following. The crowds were gathered. They were whipping each other into almost a frenzy, waving their palm branches, shouting Hosanna. They were ready for war. They were ready to march. They were ready to follow Jesus into battle. Victory was theirs for the taking. Instead, Jesus offers them the policy of patient and quiet submission. If you want to follow me, look how I'm going into the city. I'm riding a donkey. Well, if Jesus didn't come as the warrior king, why did he come? As Cheryl made clear for the children, as many of us know, Palm Sunday marked the beginning of Passover week. Thousands of people came from all over to Jerusalem for the feast. And on this particular day, it was customary for the thousands of lambs that were necessary for the feast, the thousands of Passover lambs would be brought into the city and they would be held in the homes of the people who were going to eat them. We don't know how many lambs were involved, but we do know it was a great number. One year, several years later, the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that one year they actually counted all the lambs going into the city to be slain for the Passover. On that particular year, the number was 256,500 lambs. And typically, there was mainly one day to bring them in. Can you imagine being on the roads coming into Jerusalem with 256,000 lambs trying to get in with the people? With numbers this large, there probably wouldn't be a time in daylight hours where there wasn't lambs flooding the streets. So whenever it was that Jesus entered the city, he was probably surrounded by lambs, himself being the greatest one of all. 5 days later, all those lambs would be slaughtered. Jesus among them, becoming the ultimate Passover lamb who shed blood. Because of his shed blood, the angel of death passes all who place their trust in him. Why did Jesus come? He came for this. Jesus came to die. But is he your Passover lamb? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Right? Can you say with Isaiah, he was pierced for my transgression. He was crushed for my iniquity. By his wounds, I am healed. We don't all live with the fear of conquest today. Not here in Emo, anyway. But if you're following the news, there was two churches in Egypt that were bombed this morning. I believe it was at least 38 people killed. During Palm Sunday celebration. These are people that might be living with a fear of conquest. Because there are parts of the world where people are trying to subdue the church. Here in North America, we may not fear that type of conquest, but each of us lives with different levels of fear in our lives. Sometimes those fears and anxieties become so great that they do threaten to overtake us, to overwhelm us. They overtake our relationships, they overtake our joy, and they overtake our purpose. Whatever fears we might find ourselves locked into, we can take heart that the King is coming. Hosanna. He's already brought us the victory. He's brought us our salvation. So we need not fear. Amen.